So, thanks everyone for coming. I hope you can hear me. Okay, I'll try to, but... my name is Sevlat, and I'm the author of RSpamD, and I've spent quite a significant part of my professional career working with email spam. In this presentation, I will talk mostly about using of LLM for spam detection, as was announced. So it's mostly a kind of experimental feature. I'm not quite sure that it will be suitable for everyone, but it might be interesting as an experiment and interesting in terms of, you know, possibilities. But I would like to start my presentation from this slide, because when I walked in central of London, there is a very ancient medieval cemetery in London, and I walked through it quite a lot of times, and I've seen this tomb, and this is tomb of Thomas Baez. And I'd like to say that without Bayesian, we would have no kind of proper content anti-spam, and that was the first ability to filter emails based on their content. And that's why I think that this mathematician was very important for all development of machine learning, of statistics and stuff like that, and in particular in email, that was the first example of the content filtering. So many of you maybe heard about the article of Paul Graham about note of spam, and he mentioned the bias engine. So Bayesian engine is actually one of the examples of supervised learning. So you need to train it, and without training it's useless. But the main advantage of Bayes, and why I like Bayes for content filtering, is that it can easily adopt for new content. So it's, the idea is quite simple, and I will talk about it soon, because I want to explain how it works in a nutshell. Because it might be useful to understand why I was interested in LLMs. Bayes is really very fast, so I would say that it's one of the fastest methods to kind of do classification. And apparently it's very cost effective. So you can just store your database, query it, and you have completely nothing to do some sort of computational work. So let me explain very quickly about how it works, maybe an example for RSpamD, but let's imagine that we have like three samples. And in each sample we have like maybe other tokens, but we have something like best Viagra, best wishes, best efforts, best wishes, and again best wishes, because best wishes is one of the common words that is met in email. Then we kind of trying to train that. And each tokens combination, each words combination, like two words is one token. In other Bayesian engines, there are sometimes one word, sometimes more than one word, but basically there is no significant difference. And then what you do is actually you count number of these tokens that were met in spam and ham. That's it. So the whole your Bayesian database is actually the, some representation of tokens and the counts, nothing else. So as I've said, it's very simple. And if you want to calculate something like we have another like fourth email with best wishes, so how can we detect what token is it? So the formula is quite simple. So we basically just summarize weights and divided by number of learns, because the more learns we have, the less relative weight we have. So basically for best wishes we again have weight of like normalized weight for one and one for ham and spam. So basically what does it mean? It means that this token is neutral. So we can't say if it's ham or spam. But the combination of tokens is very important. So after all, you get some sort of number for spam and number for ham, and then you can apply something like Bayesian probability, inversely squared distribution. So there are lots of statistical methods about how to get from counts to from frequencies to probabilities, and that's it. So the method is very simple, and the database is very simple as well. So you just store the number of occurrences and nothing else. But as you see, the Bayesian classifier doesn't actually know about the context anything. So for example, it just operates with tokens, nothing else. And that's a bit problematic. So I'll explain all problems that I personally had with Bayes. So the first problem is that Bayes is very good for your personal email. Why? Because, for example, you have some sort of ham that you receive from your trusted kind of friends, relatives, colleagues, mailing lists, maybe some social networks, internet. But that's the variety of ham is actually quite low for each individual person. And that's actually very good for Bayes, because basically you have your own topics. So for example, I have my own interests, and my own database is quite different from other databases. But for me, it's good. So personal Bayes is really very effective and straightforward approach. But it doesn't understand emails. So for example, how can I distinguish phishing email from PayPal from the real PayPal email? Because their content will be very, very similar, but with some distinctive peculiarities that won't be visible for Bayes in the vast majority of the cases. But we are trying to avoid this issue by adding not only content, as I've shown in the examples, like words and text. We also add some sort of meta tokens, like number of attachments, order of headers, number of received headers, and so on and so forth. And these are all features that might be useful to distinguish spam and not spam. As I've said, yeah, phishing is not so good. And another problem of Bayes engine that I've seen lots of complaints about Bayes in many scenarios, but the problem is that Bayes requires learning. And if you stop learning, then it stops kind of being actual. And you need also to expire all tokens, because basically how it's useful to store tokens for spam messages like from the previous year. It doesn't make any sense. And another big problem for example, for large installations is that your Bayesian engine for different people, like from, you know, like HR department and let's say engineering, their Bayesian databases should be completely different. And what is spam for engineers will be very useful emails for, let's say, HR or marketing department. And this is one of the biggest issues to use Bayes in many scenarios. Another problem is languages. So multi-languages emails are kind of like a big problem, because you can have lots of emails in, let's say, English, like you have some sort of company, and all Chinese emails are usually spam. But then you hire some person whose mother language is Chinese, and his messages and his correspondence will be automatically detected as spam just because Bayesian engine is kind of skewed towards spam for this language. And this is also a problem. Okay, so what I was trying to solve with large languages model. So when they were announced, I first tried to test ChatGPT to detect some of emails, and I was quite impressed with its quality at the first time, and that's why I decided to do some sort of experiments, and they're quite simple. So one big advantage of large languages models is that they are kind of unsupervised learning. So you don't need to train it. You just need to get model with all knowledge. So many models are now open source with all weights. You can run it on your own, even this laptop, not this, I think. And you don't need to train them explicitly for your content. Another advantage that I found that large language models, especially with many parameters, are very good to work with multiple languages. And that was quite impressive because I don't understand what this message means, but large model knows that. And surprisingly, they were quite efficient for phishing. So at the first time, I was very skeptical about their abilities to find phishing, but they were definitely better than bias. And another thing that these models can really be useful for not only binary classification, but providing other services. I'll explain a bit that later. So I'll a little bit explain the how we send data to large language model, because you can't actually send the email as is, because it will be just inefficient. So first of all, we get some meaningful part. So if it's multi-part, we extract HTML. If it's just text, we extract text. If we have some large HTML attachment and relatively small text parts, we use this attachment. So there is some sort of heuristics about how to find the content and message, because that's not very obvious in some cases. And we also add some additional data like from name, subject, URL and email domains, and I'm thinking about adding more metadata such as HTML structure, because it might be very useful for model to get more input, because when I added like subject, the quality of filtering improved by like 10% as far as I remember, and that was quite impressive. So adding more data is useful there. Then I've written a simple utility that gets two folders with spam and spam, then shuffle, mix them, and get some sort of part of it is used for training and part of use for testing or cross-validation. But in terms of, you know, unsupervised learning, we don't need training at all. So we just use this cross-validation or test set and exclude training step completely. So for example, that were results for bias. This is published in the internet, so you can check it on the site. And actually, the results are quite good. But this corpus, it's very simple, because this experiment was with the corpus where spam messages were quite similar. There were quite a lot of duplicates for both spam and ham. So I've used like complaints for spam and complaints for false positives, actually, for this. So this corpus is quite good example of what you can see in a typical like company. So it's not like a personal email, but some large company with lots of emails, lots of spam, but the spam is quite similar. That's important. So as you can see, the results are quite decent. But as I've said, the result for this training might be different for tomorrow's one. This was model from that was at the moment the most advanced model, GPT-4o. It was quite expensive, and again the results are a bit lower than bias, but you don't need training. And there was some strange thing, and actually it was quite common for all other experiments, that there are more false positives than false negatives. So for some good messages, LLM decides that it's likely spam. I think it's quite bad. So for example, if you compare with bias, it has less false positives than false negatives. And that's quite interesting thing. But the time was completely awful comparing to bias. So it's like 12 seconds for the whole corpus and like 300 seconds for LLM, and only 90% of classified. Okay. So I've done quite a lot of results. So you can probably check slides after this talk. I'm not going to concentrate on this. But what you can see that the elapsed time is kind of fluctuating. I'll stop on it a bit later, but actually the problem is that it's slightly unpredictable, but the overall numbers are quite good. Again, false positives are prevailing mostly on false negatives in the vast majority of the cases. And actually, there is no significant difference between cheap models and expensive models. I've also tried my own laptop, like Mac, with a small Llama 3 billion parameters on the GPU of Mac, so without any acceleration, without anything. And that results were completely rubbish, to be honest. And I was actually quite surprised that in many cases it tried to do completely different things, like I've asked to classify it as spam or not, and it tried to translate it, for example. So, I don't know. But again, that might be fixed, and I'll discuss it a bit later, but just small models are not very good, actually, in spam classifying. They are quite attractive because you can run it on commodity hardware, you don't need anything, but the results are not impressive. Right. So, in any cases, LLM is much, much slower than Bayes, really. It's not something that you can use for like 1,000 messages per second, unless you are very rich and have like a cluster of GPUs, but probably it's... Also, it's not a silver bullet, so it can do mistakes. And from my personal opinion, these mistakes are very common, and they are like maybe human-like. So if I ask somebody from this room to do this classification manually, I think nobody can do it with 100% accuracy, because sometimes it's very difficult to distinguish spam and harm emails, especially if you have no previous contacts. So for example, if I can provide like full thread of messages to LLM, and probably I can do it at some extent, it's very easy to reduce false positives for like replies and stuff like that. But on the other hand, if we know that this message is reply from mailing list, we don't need to kind of filter it because we already know that it was replied. So the majority of errors were surprisingly on exotic languages such as Arabic language. I don't know what was that spam from, because that was just, you know, like completely unknown to me message. Some messages in Chinese, so I really don't understand why they were not classified as spam, because I can't receive message in Chinese because I don't know this language. And again, this is because models don't know the context. Also, surprisingly, lots of my technical discussions about spam filtering were classified as spam, but probably it's... And one of the main problems is that really cost money, and they're very, very greedy in terms of resources. So I was thinking that mining of cryptocurrency is bad for environment, it's like using of wasting of energy. But I think that spam filtering using LLMs is even worse. So they are really quite greedy. And one of the biggest issues with LLMs is really uncertainty. So it provides unstable results. So, for example, especially lower hyperparameters models are very bad in terms of stability. So from one invocation to another invocation, the result might be completely different. Also, if you use some sort of cloud sources, then it might have unstable latency. So for example, when there was a big hype about DeepSeek model, I couldn't use DeepSeek model as is. I had to use distilled model or train it on DeepSeek. But the latency can vary. So for example, in night your latency can be 1 second. In like peak time it can be 10 seconds, and it's completely unusable in many cases. And also quite interesting that many models, especially with lower number of hyperparameters, can output some crap instead of JSON, despite of the fact that you explicitly ask to get JSON with specific attributes. Then another problem is privacy. So, of course, your messages are scanned by some black box engine, and even worse, your messages can be used to train this black box, and apparently they can leak sensitive data. So, just after that experiment, I've created a sort of anonymizer that tries to remove personal stuff, just to try this as experiment to do that. But after all, I even added some sort of GPT anonymizer. So I've asked one GPT then run locally to anonymize message then. So yeah, that's crazy ideas. Also, I tried to do some sort of consensus model. So instead of getting some expensive model with many parameters, I've tried to use multiple models. I think that was four models, all one mini, Haiku, and DeepSeek. Anyway, so these are results from consensus of three models. And in case if some model is bad in terms of hallucinations or JSON reply or whatever, the consensus is usually good. So yes, the percentage of classified is much higher than for each individual model. And the other results are, again, slightly better, but nothing, again, very good. One thing is actually training bias. And that was another corpus, actually. And in this case, as you see, the number of good classification of spam is very good, is very bad. Because the spam is really high variety and bias is not so good in this. So this was the corpus of my personal emails for some years, and spam is really completely different. So there are no duplicates, nothing, and this corpus is quite good in terms of representation, but it definitely shows the problem of bias, that it's not good in terms of high cardinality or high variety input. Yes. But again, it's very fast, and it's quite good for learning, for using of HAM. And actually, if you train bias by LLMs, you can set a separate instance where you can mirror some portion of traffic, classify it with LLM, and train bias, and you get good from both worlds. Also, I have quite a few time, quite a low time, but. This one was also quite interesting. So in many cases, it's very difficult to explain a user why this message was classified as spam or ham. In this thing with LLM, you can actually add some sort of reasoning. And this reasoning is really very good. And it's very good in terms of human readability. So you can actually tell what this message is and why it was classified as spam. So, for example, this is my recent phishing from like yesterday. I received this message in train. And I've immediately asked GPT about why is it bad. Again, that's quite decent explanation about phishing. So, quite a good tool. Okay, I don't have any time, so let's go to questions.
Very quick and there, and again, please try to repeat the question for the camera. Yeah, go ahead. What do you think that the future of this is? Is AI actually, LLMs, are actually they going to be future of anti-spam, or are they going to be the future of actually spam creation?
Well, that's a very good question. So is it good for spam creation? I think it's very good for spam creation. Especially, they're very good in terms of, creativity spam. So that's quite a worrying thing. And I think I've heard some talks about that even, and some other conferences. And yes, I think this tool can be used for both of things as usually. It can be used for good and for bad.
Depending itself from the coming wave of AI
As usually, there are multiple criteria. So if you decide spam or harm based on content only, I think that's not enough. But if you add here like IP addresses, like reputation, like DMARC, DKIM, and old good stuff that were used in the past, and if you combine that with kind of analysis, and if you combine that with some metadata like, you know, number of messages, structure, because actually LLMs are very good in finding content that is generated by LLMs. So that's also quite a use case. So if you use some sort of traditional methods and content-based analysis, you can actually try to do something better. I think, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, go ahead.
Did you use supervised learning to modify the prompts for the LLMs? So then you basically said, okay, hey, here are like 20 examples of them, 20 examples of them, please specify them.
That's the question about learning of LLMs. I've planned to add it into future work and stuff like that. But the idea is really to train low parameters LLM with high parameters LLM. That's also possible. So you can train not only Bayes but another model. You can also improve the prompt as you've suggested, and actually I've tried to do it, but I've not found any significant differences in that. Because the prompt is not so important in terms of, you know, detection, because the prompt is simple. So you have a message and you need to detect spam or harm. And the only thing that was useful was adding actually reasoning. So in theory, adding reasoning should not affect the probabilities and the accuracy and stuff like that. But surprisingly, adding just a reason was beneficial for the raw results. So, but it wasn't suggested by LLM. It was like my idea.
Hey, so one final question. I think it was you.
In my own experiments, I just used a locally running 2 GB OLAMA model and asked it to rate the following email on a scale from 0 no spam to 5. Mm-hmm.
So that was 3 billion, right? Yes, so that was, if that was 3 billion model, and my contra question is what language have you used?
The emails were in English.
In English. So that's the biggest difference, because I've tried multiple languages. In English, the results were quite decent. In other languages, nothing good. And I think that's the main disadvantage of low parameters models, that they actually don't have multiple languages at the same level as larger models. So yes, I understand, and actually I've tried local models and I've tried to do them, but as I've said, I've decided not to continue just because of multiple languages support.
All right. Thank you very much.